Praise God. Amen. He deserves all of the praise, all of the glory, all the honor. Amen. Because he is God, and he's God alone. One man once said, he said, God is large and in charge. There's nobody like our God. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 21. If you can remain standing just for a little bit longer as we turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 12 to 14. Good to have Bishop and Sister Downs with us. We're away last weekend in Melbourne, but they're back, and we praise God for that. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I do encourage you to be here next Sunday. Going to be great services, revival services with Brother Dan McLeod. We're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to read from verses 12 through to 14. Have you got it in your Bibles? And if you haven't, it's on the screen. If I could have it on the fallback screen, that would be great as well. And David went, and he took the bones. Everyone say the bones. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son. And they gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried them in the country of Benjamin in Zillah, in the sepulchre of Kish, his father. And they performed all that the king had commanded. And so they went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, and they buried the bones in the country of Benjamin, in the sepulchre of Kish. And after they had done all that the king had commanded in burying those bones, after that, everyone say after that, not before, but after they buried the bones, the Bible says God was entreated for the land. Or other versions say after that, healing came to the land. Healing. Everybody say healing. I want to speak today on this thought. Bury the bones. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everybody that's here today and online, Lord God. And we know that, Lord, your word speaks. So, Lord, turn me into a microphone from heaven. Hide me behind the cross. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak in this place today to every circumstance, to every need, Lord God. Lord, help us not to leave the same way that we came in. Lord God, do a work in our lives. Lord, prepare our hearts to be soft and ready for the seed of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, bury the bones. Bury the bones. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. God's word is wonderful. The Bible says that all of the word of God, the Bible, is inspired, and even these Old Testament accounts are there as examples, or the word in the Bible is ensamples for us today. Bury the bones. You see, if you're going to step into your future that God has for you, if you're going to be what God has called you to be, and if you're going to walk that path that God wants you to walk, if you're going to experience the blessing of God as God would have you experience, you've got to move beyond where you are. Everybody say move. And the only way that you can move beyond where you are is to deal where you have been. You see, a lot of people can't move forward because they're holding on to something in the past. A lot of people cannot receive what God has for them because their hands are full of the things in the past. And the only way that you can move on from where you are is to deal where you have been. The only way you can step into what God has for you, you have to deal with the past. And I want to tell you today that God's grace is sufficient for us. Sufficient for our salvation. But His grace is also sufficient for us to overcome everything in our past. There's more grace than your disgrace. And some of us may look back over shameful things and hurts and all that sort of stuff in our past. And some of us stand here today, and while God has forgotten all of those things, the Bible says, and Sister Hannah read it in worship, that He has removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. God remembers them no more, but we can still remember. Some of us are still carrying the shame from the things that have happened in the past. And I declare in this house today that God's grace is sufficient for us to overcome everything in the past. There is more grace than any disgrace in your past. And sometimes it's just true. Let's be real today. Sometimes our yesterdays can drag us down. Because of the past, we can live today. We can live today with that defeated mindset, that not walking in the victory that God would have us walk. You see, our yesterdays can steal even our hope today. Our yesterdays can cause us to walk today in a discouraged way. And so I ask you, what is that thing that drags you down? What is that thing in the past that keeps coming up and dragging you back into the miry clay? What is that thing? Is it a hurt from the past? Hurts happen. Life happens. Hurts in all shapes and sizes. Maybe there's a habit that you cannot overcome, and that habit, you keep going back to that habit. You know that God doesn't want you to have that habit. You know that maybe it is a sin, or maybe it's not a sin, but maybe it's something that is good and not a bad thing, but it keeps dragging you back. Maybe it's a hang up, maybe it's a secret sin. Or maybe, like I spoke about before, that there's this shame that just kind of lingers all the time, and the devil comes and he plays on that shame. You think you're a child of God. You think you can walk victoriously, and then he tries to bring up your past and to drag you back into the shame. I want to tell you that Jesus died for your sin, but he also died for your shame. What is that thing? You make a commitment to God and you say, God, from this day on, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to live 100%. And then you find yourself being dragged back because of that thing. Or that baggage that you picked up and accumulated in your walk, and you're carrying this baggage and you're just so burdened down. Yes, it even happens to born-again Christians. Maybe there's a sin that you are yet to lay aside, a weight that which does so easily, Hebrews says, easily beset us. What is that offense? Maybe you've been offended by somebody or hurt by somebody, and you're holding on to it, and it's bitterness, and it's a root of bitterness. It's unforgiveness, and you try to move forward, but this thing just keeps holding you back. I want to tell you, the cross is enough. What Jesus did on the cross is enough for you and I today. We can live in victory because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. At the cross, He died for our sin. He died for our shame. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and we can walk in victory. That's the work of the cross. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God." It's the power of God. You see, the cross is the power of God. And 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, "And He Himself bore our sins," our past. He bore our sins, the Bible says, in His body. He carried and took upon our sin. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, that the earth quaked. And I wonder why it quaked, but maybe the reason that the earth quaked is that the earth had never experienced so much sin in one place. Jesus took upon Himself our sin. The Bible says He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. What a beautiful exchange. 1 Peter 2:24 says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds or by his stripes we are healed. And so we're talking about the past. The past. What you do with those things in your past will determine whether you go on and become what God wants you to become, or whether you become a hostage of the circumstances in your past. Will you go on and walk in victory, or will you become a hostage to those circumstances and those things and those bones from the past? And so we're looking at 2 Samuel today. And the context here of what we're reading in 2 Samuel, and if you want to go back there, you can have a read of it, 2 Samuel chapter 21. We read it in our text today. But there is a famine in the land. And for 3 years, there had been this famine, and David inquires of the Lord. David is going to do whatever he can. He's the new king. He's sitting on the throne, and he realizes that the nation of Israel needs revival. The nation of Israel needs renewal. The nation of Israel needs restoration. And so David is doing whatever he can as the new king. He says, how can I get God's blessing back on the nation of Israel? Now, young David, we know him as a shepherd, but he became a king. And David became king after Saul had died on the battlefield. King David was not born into royalty. He was just a shepherd. He was a humble shepherd who rose to become the king of Israel. And the Bible even said that David was a man after God's own heart. Now David's king. And he's got this huge task to revive, restore, and restore the nation of Israel. And David is a young man. He's found himself in a good place now. He sits in the palace. He sits on a throne. He's got this giant task of reviving and restoring the nation of Israel. You see, the nation of Israel had spiraled into sin and disobedience and all of those things, so much so that God had taken his hand of protection off the nation of Israel because of Saul. David's got this giant task. What am I going to do with the nation of Israel? How can I restore hope when everything seems beyond hope? And so David is there on the throne. He says, "What, God, what do I do to restore this nation?" You see, under Saul, everyone say Saul, the entire country was torn by war, where the Philistine army came in and decimated the Israelite armies. There was a time when God and was with Saul, and there was a time when God was with his people, but because of Saul's leadership and because of his disobedience and rebelliousness to God, God had lifted his hand off Israel. And there was a battle, you can read about it in 1 Samuel 31, and when all of Israel began to retreat and run when they should have been living in victory. They should have defeated the enemy, but instead they're running for the hills. And we read in 1 Samuel 31 verses 1 to 7, that Saul's son fell. They died at the Philistine swords. Jonathan, Saul's son, died. Saul fell upon his sword. He was so wounded, he fell upon his sword. And so here it is, at the time of our text that we read, for the last couple of days, the dead carcass of the former king, Saul, and Jonathan, his son, those bones lay on the battlefield. Now, we've got to know something about Saul. You see, the closing chapter of Saul's life was a tragedy. But the beginning of his life wasn't so bad. You see, Saul was a celebrated young man, chosen by God. The Bible says he was head and shoulders above everyone else. He was an obvious warrior. He was a celebrated young man. He had good character. He was tall and strong. Saul seemed to be the perfect leader. He was humble. Believe it or not, at the beginning, Saul was humble. So humble that when they wanted to crown him, he went and hid himself. He didn't want pride and arrogance to get in the way of his leadership of the nation of Israel. He was young and tender, and God used him greatly. When he was young, they said, this man, Saul, the crowd said, this man, Saul, he will lead us in the path of righteousness. He is God's chosen man. He is the man for this hour. And so the future and the hope of Israel was in Saul's hands. He had qualities. It seemed like the nation of Israel was going to prosper. But a short time later, things didn't happen the way they should have. First of all, a giant shows up. Everyone say a giant. Goliath, that's right. Goliath shows up, and Goliath is standing on that mountain with the Philistine armies and the children of Israel on the other side of the valley. And Goliath, that giant, is mocking them. And what happens? Israel, they send a little boy into battle for them. A young boy named. And who should have been the man to go into battle? It should have been Saul. Saul was the warrior. Saul was huge. He was the tallest. But where is Saul? Saul's quivering in his tent. He doesn't know what to do. And so instead of going to battle himself, he puts the responsibility on a child and sends David into battle. David goes out there, and we know that he brought that giant Goliath down. But there's a story behind the story, because David's victory was Saul's defeat in the eyes of Israel. David slew Goliath, but David's victory was Saul's defeat. And it was reflected in the song that the maidens sang when the victory came. The ladies grabbed the timbrel and they're dancing and they're saying, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Saul. What had happened to Saul? Had so much promise and so much potential, all of those things, but now he had become a discouragement of Israel. Then the children of Israel, they go into another battle against the Philistines. And you know, God helped them. They were winning the battle over the Philistines. But when the soldiers needed energy, they're battling and they're fighting and they've got the Philistines on the ropes. They're winning the war. And as human beings, they begin to feel weary and they begin to feel tired. And they don't have the energy to keep fighting. And so what does God do? God provides honey dripping from the trees. And so God provided that honey so they could go and taste the honey, and their eyes, the Bible said, would be enlightened. The energy would come back, Brother Sam. They would get the energy to keep fighting. God provided exactly what they needed. But you know what? Saul, in his pride, said, nobody will eat, nobody will drink until we eliminate them completely. So proud, so arrogant. And in saying that, he robbed the armies of Israel of the very strength that they needed. His pride gets in the way again. They should have tasted that honey. They should have eaten that honey, and they would have totally destroyed the Philistines. And so here it is, pride and arrogance get in the way. And Israel is frustrated. They're discouraged. Saul was a frustration to them. If only, they're thinking, if only Saul hadn't been so proud. If only Saul hadn't let his pride get in the way, we could have defeated those Philistines once and for all. And so Saul's life is spiraling out of control. He ends up going and speaking to the witch at Endor. Saul had become so spiritually confused that he went to a witch. Saul had lost his relationship. This is how it happened. He had lost his relationship with the prophet Samuel, who was, for all intents and purposes, his pastor. He had lost his relationship with his pastor, and he started doing his own thing, and he started doing his own sacrifices. He became his own man. He became his own priest, and he started doing things his own way, and everything just spiraled to the point where now Saul is sitting at the feet of a witch. And that was a reproach and a shame for the people of God. Let me remind you today, and I know I'm a pastor, but you need a man of God in your life. You don't just need a preacher, you need a pastor. It's a different thing. You can say, yeah, I've got a preacher, but no, have you got a pastor? who cares for your soul? Have you got a pastor who can speak into your life and correct your course? You don't just need a preacher, you need a pastor. And so Saul, in his pride, had distanced himself from godly authority and now finds himself, yes, under another authority, the witch at Endor. And so the pathway goes down in this downward spiral. Eventually, it leads to the battlefield where Saul and his son Jonathan are killed on the battlefield. Their bodies are left on the battlefield. Their bones are there. Everything that Israel could have been, everything that Israel should have been, now just lay in a pile of bones on the battlefield. Nothing but bones. Everyone say bones. All of the nation's dreams lay in a pile of bones. They knew what we could have been. They knew what they should have been. And so David comes and he's sitting on the throne. And when he saw what had happened to Israel, David said in 2 Samuel 1:19, he says these words, "Your glory, O Israel, lay slain on the heights." He's referring to the death of Saul and Jonathan. He said, Israel, you should have been a glorious nation. You should have been a blessed nation. You should have been a victorious nation. And David sees the bones of Saul. He says, your glory, O Israel, lay slain on the heights. Your glory is now just a pile of bones. And so David's heart is broken. He's the new king and he surveys the situation. He said, it's not looking good. Look at the nation of Israel. He's got to restore them. He says, where do I start? What do I do? How can I bring restoration and revival and renewal to the nation of Israel? How can I revive a nation which is so discouraged? A nation which has so much shame. They're only a shell of their dreams. And so David is the new king. And he stands in between the people of God and the charred remains of their hopes and dreams. David is in the middle of the people of God and the remnants of what they had all hoped to be, just in a pile of bones on the battlefield. And so I ask you today, what stands between you and what God wants to do in your life? What is holding you back from being renewed and revived? What is that ceiling of restriction? What is that thing that keeps dragging you back? What is that thing you want to go to the next level in your walk with God, but there's that thing, a mistake, a hurt, a hang-up, a habit, unforgiveness, bitterness, a sin which you haven't laid aside. You come to church while everybody's touching God and worshiping God and everybody is there. You're feeling, I just cannot be what God wants me to be. There's that thing that just keeps pulling you back. I've been in church long enough to know that I've seen people that God obviously was going to use in a mighty way, like Saul, never really became what God intended them to become. Why? Because they just couldn't let some things go. I want to tell you today, there is deliverance in the house today. You don't have to leave with those bones anymore. You don't have to leave with those mistakes and those hurts and those habits. We've got a Jesus who is victorious. He died on the cross. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Today is the day of deliverance. I'll tell you, if you would just surrender it all to Jesus and say, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I freely give. I give you my past. I give you my hurts. I give it all to you. I lay it down at the foot of the David, how are you going to revive these people whose dreams have been shattered? David, how are you going to revive these people whose lives have been overtaken by past failures? David, how are you going to rise above the past? And maybe that's exactly where you stand today. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm in the house of God. I'm doing everything I can in my own strength, but I just can't rise above the things of the past. I can't rise above those hurts and those things that happened to me in the past. I can't rise above the unforgiveness. I can't rise above the sin, those habits and things that I've allowed to come into my life. So what are you going to do, David? You've got a big job. What are you going to do? David gets off the throne. He goes down to Jabesh. Why does he go to Jabesh? Because there's some bones. Everyone say, there's some bones. There are some things laying around from the past. And he gets those bones and he picks up the bones and he goes and he buries the bones. He gets them out of the sight of everybody. He says, as the king, he says, you know what? As a nation, we can't move forward while we keep tripping over those bones. How can we look forward when all we can see are the bones of our past mistakes and the shame of the past? Let me tell you, if you're ever going to rise above the failures of yesterday, you've got to take care of the past once and for all. Let me tell you, you can leave some things behind. You know, the world says once an addict, always an addict. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. But Jesus says, you are a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to tell you, there is deliverance in the house. You can bury those bones today once and for all. You can live in victory as Jesus intended. And so David understood. He said, you know what? We can't do anything about the past, yesterday, what happened. We can't change that. But we don't have to sit here and look at the failures. We don't have to sit here and look at those bones. He says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and I'm going to bury the bones. And I want to show you in this scripture, if you read that text, it was after they buried the bones that healing came to the land. It was after they buried those bones that healing came to the land. And there's somebody here today that needs healing. And I want to tell you, you've got to leave the past behind. You've got to bury those bones if you want to move forward. And so Israel went and they buried the bones. And what happened? God healed the land. Healing came. Deliverance came. Revival came. Let me tell you, you're not going to experience what God has for you until you bury those bones of the past. Oh, let me tell you, somebody today, you've struggled for long enough. If you want to be what God wants you to be, if you want to walk in the blessing and the provision of God, if you want to walk in victory, you've got to bury the bones. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. It's going to be on the screen. But Paul said it like this. He said, brethren, I count not myself. You see, Paul had some bones to bury. Yeah, what do you think his bones were? Well, he had a whole lot of shameful things in his past. In fact, it included killing and slaughtering Christians. If he was going to be the man that God called him to be in, and he ended up being that man that took the gospel to the Gentiles and God used him powerfully, he wrote, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. But he was only able to do that by burying some bones from the past. And he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I'm not a perfect man, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. He said, I got my eyes looking on ahead. I can't look at the things in the past. I'm forgetting those things that I'm reaching forth. He said, I press. And let me tell you, sometimes leaving those bones behind, it's going to take a press. But he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody today, leave those bones behind, leave that past behind, leave those habits behind, leave that sin behind, leave that unforgiveness behind, and press. Only after they buried the bones did healing come to the land. Rise above it. You see, I may have made a mistake and I may have fallen, but God, I cannot hang on to you and hold on to these bones at the same time. You see, you've got to bury the bones. This is the reality today. Either you're going to be defined by your past. What are you going to do? Either be defined by your past or you're going to get up and deal with your past. You see, you cannot do anything. Like David couldn't change what happened in the past. He couldn't go back and reverse history, but he could do something. He got up and said, you know what? We cannot move forward. We can't keep moving forward. We can't be revived and restored, because every time we do, they leave bones that we just keep tripping over. David said, I got to get rid of those bones. And when he did, healing came to the land. Yeah, we know what it's like for the devil to bring our past up, don't we? Why does the adversary like bones so much? You see, it's the adversary's way of reminding us of the past. He uses our past to intimidate us, to drag us back. In fact, let me go a little bit further. In some cultures, and some cultures represented here today, there's something in the culture called pointing the bone. Anyone ever heard of that before? It's like when you curse somebody. In some places around the world, a witch doctor would come with a bone and point it at somebody. And if you got the bone pointed at you, you were doomed. And that's what the devil wants to do as well. He'd come just when you thought that you're getting everything together and living for God. He'll come and say, you know what? Here's your past. And he'll come and bring it back and say, how can you live for God? Look at what you were like those years ago. Look at what you did at that time. Look at the things that you said. Let me tell you, Jesus gave us a new hope and a new future and a new life. That's why it's called being born again. The bones are gone. We all know about David's failure with Bathsheba. He should have been on the battlefield, but he found himself at home, looking out the window. He saw Bathsheba bathing. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. Bathsheba became pregnant. He didn't just commit adultery, but he also ended up trying to cover it up by murdering her husband. And so what happened is that the prophet Nathan turns up and he walks and confronts David about the adultery. He tells him a story about a sheep and a little lamb. And he goes up and he points his bony finger in David's face and he tells him, he said, the child that Bathsheba has conceived is going to die. He goes there and David then confesses his sin. He puts on sackcloth and ashes, the Bible says. He fasts and mourns because he's received the news that his child is going to die. He said, this is a mistake that I will never escape. It just doesn't seem right to have a dying baby in a king's palace. David puts sackcloth and ashes on and he's mourning. Then the time comes and he says, well, tell me, is the baby dead? They said, yes, David, the baby has died. When David received the news that the baby has died, he stops mourning. He stops fasting. He changes his clothing. And the prophet Nathan comes to him and says, David, why did you quit mourning when your son passed? David, you've been mourning since I told you that your son's going to die, but now the baby's dead, it's time to cry. But David does something different. David gets up, the Bible says, and he changes his raiment. The Bible says David gets up and he stops mourning. This time he changes his clothes, he washes his face. You know what David was saying when he received the news? He says, you know what, I made a mistake. I know I made a grievous mistake, but this much I know, that I got to keep moving on in God. I cannot get to where God wants me to be if I keep just looking at and mourning about a dead baby, about the mistakes that I've made in the past. I've got to bury the bones if I'm going to move forward. And so David realizes he's got to deal with the past. David, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to leave the past behind. Let me tell you, you cannot do anything about your mistakes. You cannot reverse anything that happened back then. But you can bury the bones. If the musicians could come. Isaiah 43 verse 18 says this, "Remember ye not the former things." Can you see that on the screen there? "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing." Everybody say a new thing. "Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." If you're here today and your life has become a desert, I want to tell you that Jesus wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to do a new thing. You can leave the past behind. You can leave those hurts and hang-ups and habits, all of those things. You can leave the bones behind. Oh, God is speaking to somebody today. Somebody knows exactly what I'm talking about, because every time you get back up on your feet and every time you make a decision that you're going to start living for Jesus again, yes, the devil comes again and he points that bone in your face. Let me tell you, you can leave it behind today. Oh, yes, this is something that born-again Christians struggle with. Colossians chapter 2 verse 14 and 15 says this, "Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly." Let me tell you, when Jesus hung on that cross, when he cried, "It is finished," he dealt a death blow to the devil. He dealt a death blow to sin. Let me tell you, he set us free. "The accuser of the brethren is finished." That one who would come and point the bone, he is finished. The accuser of the brethren, the accusations are finished. All of those things are finished. And I've come to declare in this house today, in spite of where you're at, in spite of the things you're struggling with, in spite of the bones that lay strewn in your life, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Hallelujah. All things become new. David, what are you going to do? How are you going to revive the nation of Israel after all the shame and after all the things and the discouragement? How are you going to revive the nation of Israel, David? He gets off his throne. He said, "I got to deal with some things in the past. And we're going to move forward. We're going to have to stop and deal with these things right now." David went and buried the bones. The Bible says, and God was entreated to the land. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God is greater than your trouble. God is greater than your trial. God is greater than your problems. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision to live for Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here and saying, "Pastor, my life is just so full of sin." I tell you, Jesus died for your sin, that you can live a righteous life. He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so if you're here today, maybe you're just here because you're curious. But if you've never repented of your sin, today is the day. Turn your life around. Not a 360, a 180 turn. "Once I was living this way, now I'm living that way." And you know what? There was a turnaround in the nation of Israel. And it happened when they buried the bones. Let me tell you what do you got to bury? You got to bury your sin. And I'm glad that the Bible tells us how we can bury our sin. Because Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says this, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. When you are buried in the waters of baptism, it says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And so if you've never been baptized today, let me tell you, there's nothing like being baptized in Jesus' name. Our sins are washed away. When we are buried with him in baptism, we rise up out of those waters and walk in newness of life. And so who am I speaking to today? I'm speaking to those people that have never repented of their sin and never been baptized in Jesus' name. But I'm also speaking to born-again Christians who still have some bones laying around. You need to come and lay them at the foot of the cross. The baggage that you accumulate, you see, we go through life and we pick up one thing and we keep going, not walking as we should, and before you know it, we pick up another thing. And the weight becomes heavier and heavier, and another thing. And the things of the past and the shame, we pick up all these things. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no rest unless you know that your past is forgiven. Bury the bones. Bring it to the foot of the cross. Come to the altar today. Bury the past. Let's stand in this place today. Give it to Jesus today and say, Jesus, all of my failures, all of my hurts, all of my habits, all of my hang-ups, all of my shame, oh God, I bring it to the altar today. Can we just lift our hands all across this place today? Oh, what a Savior. Oh, I'm preaching the cross today. I'm preaching our Savior. Jesus is the one who saves. He can restore. He can revive. He can renew you today. Come to the cross and bury those bones. Oh, Jesus. Lord God, I just pray. Pray for every person under the sound of my voice. Lord God, these things which does so easily beset us and weigh us down in this race that you have called us to run. Lord Jesus, I pray that deliverance would come to somebody in this house today. Oh God, Lord, do a work in our hearts. Set us free, oh God. Lord Jesus, that we can walk in newness of life. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord God. Oh, are you hurting?
Are you hurting, broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin?
Bury the bones tonight,
Jesus. Jesus is calling.